Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. So we are going to kind of just review quickly what we started for week one and kind of go over that and then do a little bit more. And we're going to have more time to discuss some questions and things today. So I'm just going to start with the PowerPoint, and we're just going to briefly go over what we covered because it has been a couple weeks since we did that. So we talked about what is a stronghold. It's anything that keeps you from growing in your relationship with God. Pastor Damesworth, I referred to his message that he preached called Mind Games of a Silent Spirit. He said it's a trap from hell to keep you bound. It might possibly lead to moral or spiritual corruption, and it can become such a stronghold that it is your identity, becomes your identity. And then we wanted to recognize different examples of strongholds. So we started putting a list up here. We got through everything except the last category that I had. So we'll just go over it real quickly. Under substances, which would be physical and mental addictions, we had relationships, painkillers, alcohol, gambling, tobacco, porn, electronics, gaming, drugs, and food like sweets, caffeine, drinks, stuff like that. Anything else that anybody wants to add to that?
Negativity.
What?
Negativity.
We put that under mental, actually. So we'll keep that under mental. Some of these overlap, a lot of these overlap. Like if we talk about time wasters and we're going to talk about habits, there's a lot of overlap. So yes, under mental, we have the negative self-talk. So negativity. And I just put self-talk there too, but same thing. Anything else anybody's thought about since last time as far as physical addictions? Yeah, okay. We'll go to the next one. So then we talked up, I skipped it. We went back and we talked about time wasters there in the middle. We mentioned TV, movies, videos, Facebook and all social media, music, shopping, hobbies. And again, there's a lot of overlap, right? There's a lot of overlap. If you're spending a lot of time worrying with mental fear, that's going to be a time waster. We already had under substances, electronics, and gaming. So those, you know, or even drinking alcohol, gambling, those are all time wasters too. So there's a lot of overlap in these, but just to kind of give us a general category for those. And then we had this slide, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, Psalm 101:3. And I got this from Bible Hub. This is a commitment to purity and integrity, reflecting a conscious decision to avoid anything that might lead to moral or spiritual corruption. And then we went on to mental and emotional, which is that long list there. I bet we could add even more to that, but we came up with a long list of depression, suicide, anxiety, worry, guilt, shame, anger, fear, envy, jealousy, prejudice, culture, resentment, negative self-talk or negative abuse and trauma from abuse, a judgmental spirit. There's probably a lot more. Anybody have anything to add to the list right now that you've thought about in the last couple weeks? There's a lot that goes under that category. I think that's probably, in my opinion, unless you have physical abuse to a substance or something, to me, mental is the biggest stronghold probably for most of us. And that's not just church people, probably everybody. We all have a past. We talked about it. If you were in my class about forgiveness, we talked about things that happened in the past when you were a child. And we tend to live our lives depending on how we were treated as a child. So those mental things can be a stronghold on us. It keeps us from maybe reaching our full potential because we're held back because of some mental or verbal or physical or sexual abuse that we had to endure as a child. So the verse that went with that is, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if you were in my forgiveness class in the spring, we talked quite a bit about negative self-talk. So an example of casting down everything that exalteth itself and bringing your thoughts into captivity is cast down that negative self-talk and replace negative statements with at least 5 positive statements. So we talked about that in the forgiveness session, but it applies here. So these, that's a strategy you can use to help get those negative thoughts out of your head. And then this is the one we did not get to, habits. So we don't have anything under this list, but I've got 5 scriptures that kind of go along with habits. So let's read through the scriptures first, and you be thinking about habits. I realize there's probably a lot of stuff up there that's already habits, but there's maybe a few things that you haven't thought of before. So there's 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So exercising daily does profit us, right? It says it profiteth us a little, but making the habit of exercising your God is, if it's replacing your devotion time, that would be a habit that's a good habit, but it's, you've probably known people, bodybuilders and people that, you know, it's like every waking moment they're working out. So is that taking away from your time of devotion to God? So those are kind of what I'm thinking about when we talk about habits. The next scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there's nothing wrong with exercising. Again, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body. Okay, so there's carnal things and there's spiritual things. A body is a carnal thing, right? It's just flesh on bones. It came from dust. It's going to return to dust. But if we're focusing too much on those habits, then it can take away, like I said, to your devotion to God. But there are a lot of habits that are good for our bodies that are good to keep. So even Jewish law had daily habits. They would abstain from certain foods. They would wash their hands before they eat. Raise your hand if you wash your hands before you eat. That's a good habit, right? Or if you're, especially if you visit the hospital or you're around sick people or shaking a lot of people's hands, you want to wash your hands so you don't get COVID or flu or anything else, and especially before you eat. So it's not that habits for your body are bad. They're something we need to do. We just have to do things in moderation and not be overzealous in a habit that might be harmful for us, might be bad for us as a bad habit as opposed to a good habit. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So there, what if you have a habit of being a bad listener? It does become a habit. And that, you know, so it can become a habit to not be a good listener. God wants us to be still and know that He is God. So there's that part of it, but then there's also the people part. So if we're still and listen to God, when we pray, we don't have to do all the talking. Sometimes just meditate and wait on the Lord. Yep, let Him speak to you, because this is when He does speak to us. He's going to have trouble speaking to us if we're just, you know, blah, 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 talking all the time to Him. Give Him a chance to talk to you. But also, we can be a better friend and a better witness to people if we take the time to really listen to what people are saying. It's a lost art. We all have ADD because of our devices and social media and all this stuff, and we have a hard time listening. People will be talking to us, and I've seen people scrolling on their phones while somebody's telling them something. It's important to make people feel validated and like you really care about them. So that means making eye contact, nodding once in a while, an occasional mm-hmm, to let them know you're listening. And this is the hardest one, not interrupting. I know I struggle with that. Just about everybody I know, I think, struggles with that. Because if you're here to listen, and it's hard, right? Because while they're talking, you're thinking, oh, I want to say this, and I want to say this, and I want to say, and they start racking up, and you're like, if I don't say it, I'm going to forget. And I will forget. Because I forget everything. I have brain fog. but so hard. But then again, how are you making that person feel? Are you making them feel special? Are you making them feel like they're heard? So just those habits, they can be strongholds because they're a habit that might not be a good habit for us or for other people or the people we're trying to interact with or trying to interact with God. If we don't give him time to talk to us, well, maybe he's trying to get us to slow down and listen. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is a word that means money. But so ask yourself, do you spend too much time trying to accumulate wealth or material things? That can become a habit. There are people that spend all their waking moments trying to accumulate wealth or trying to get the latest and greatest thing. So those are things that are habits that are not good habits necessarily. Now, we need to be a good steward of the finances God blesses us with, right? So to not take the time to think ahead and plan ahead and be a good steward of your finances, that can also be a bad habit if you're not doing that. You need to plan for yourself, your future, your family. We know that God will take care of us, but God also did give us a brain, so he expects us to use it, right? So there's, you know, there's a fine line between some of these things, or a balance. You know, this is a habit. This habit, exercising, it can be good and it can be bad, because it can be great for your body. But if you're doing it all the time and neglecting other things that may be important, there's that word moderation again, then it can become a bad habit. So things to weigh out. And then I think this is the last one, Exodus 25, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So think about habits and addictions. Don't they seem to run in families, right? So if we're talking about a stronghold that's a habit or a mental thing, or an addiction that is binding you, do we really want to pass that on to their children, have that pass that on to their children, and so forth? And the Bible says, you know, there's another verse that says, oh, this is it, the sins of the fathers. I've always heard it, the sins of fathers. The iniquity of the fathers is passed down through the generations. That's not a joke. The Bible's true. We see it every day. So you've heard stories or maybe seen in your own lives or know people. Somebody who had an abusive father, that little boy grows up and he becomes an abusive father. His little boy grows up and it can be passed through the generations. Most of the time that's not intentional, because when that little boy was abused by his father, do you think he was being beaten saying, oh, I want to grow up to be just like my daddy? No. He doesn't mean to do that, but unfortunately, some of these bad habits or these strongholds that we're stuck in can be passed down to our family members. So, something to think about. So, habits. Now, I've gone over the verses I had about habits, and I do realize there's a lot of stuff up there, like we even put hobby under time wasters. There's a lot of habits there. But does anybody have any habits you can think of that or anything else, any other strongholds that's not on the board that is something that you think that you or other people may struggle with that we don't have up there yet? Had a couple weeks to think about it, but also a couple weeks makes you not think about it. All right.
What about shopping?
Shopping is up there somewhere. Oh, it's under time wasters. That's okay. That's okay. That's a good one. And by the way, illnesses, I had written it under substances, but really that should go under mental, because when you don't feel bad and it is a vicious cycle, you don't have the energy to do anything. So I just put a line there and tried to put that under mental. We had a big list under mental. Anything that we haven't covered that anybody can think of? We did pretty good. I guess we did better than I thought we did. We ran out of time, so I thought, better look at this again. Okay. Oh, Dave.
I don't have anything to add to that. I just want to make a comment about, we were talking about how strong roles can be generational. And I think we've all seen that. You'll see a family that's fighting an addiction or alcohol, and it's two or three generations deep. But we can also rejoice when we see someone break through that stronghold and come to a service and have God affect their life. And before you know it, you know, they're starting to break that stronghold and then getting baptized in the name of Jesus and then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can remember, used to have a friend of mine. I remember seeing how it affected his life. He was the first generation to break out of that family stronghold, but he could only do that through Christ and through the body of Christ and through those that prayed for him. And he, I remember telling him one day, I said, you changed your family tree. You changed it. I mean, your family tree was going this way. And because you were able to have the courage and the boldness to break through that stronghold, now you've changed your family's tree. So now his family tree is growing in a different direction toward Christ, you know, toward the freedom that God gives us. So, you know, that's why we rejoice so much when we see someone getting baptized or getting filled with the Holy Ghost, because they are changing their family tree. Not that they could be, but they are. And I just think, as a body of Christ, you know, we get so much satisfaction of seeing that, and that's why we rejoice over it. So it's, mm-hmm. You never know when people walk into church. You never know the baggage that they carry and the load that they carry. We don't know. There's people that's in church right now that are carrying loads that we're unaware of. Christians, we're all here. We all carry different loads every day, every week, and we never know what everyone's going through. But breaking through those strongholds, it's powerful. It's powerful when those things, when you break through those things. Mm-hmm.
Good.
May I make one, mention one thing? We have a Celebrate Recovery for Hurts, Hang-ups, and Habits. There's not probably a person sitting here in there even that don't have some issues. And we have the small groups where we share. It's totally confidential. You cannot believe what's been done for some people here already. But some people, you'd be shocked to know they had all those things that they were carrying from childhood or whatever. So I'd like to tell you, that's the place to be. I don't get to be there every Thursday because I'm babysitting, but sometimes Thursdays. But that's the most awesome thing.
Thank you, because I was going to mention that too, because we had somebody in the first class who specifically was asking about that. I'm hoping that they're not here this morning. I'm hoping that she went. She was invited, I believe, by somebody that goes to church here. But like you said, we can all benefit from that.
We all need it.
Yes, we can all be in Celebrate Recovery. It's not just for people who have substance addictions or something like that.
We have appreciation for those who have maybe a greater need than our own. But it's just been life-changing. There's been some people in here, you'd be shocked to know they came and they got their need. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to come anymore. Bob and I come just to be a support and try to be there. Mm-hmm. But my husband's unloaded a lot of things. I have no idea what they were.
Mm, wow.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
It's a great program.
So, yes, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. Mm-hmm. Such a believer in it.
Sister Woodall?
I want to put a positive spin on it. I was raised in Ben's Blue. I have a total of 9 siblings, total of 10 of us. Our dad was an alcoholic. But we saw what it did to him, what it did to the family, and the effects of it, and only 1 out of 10 turned to alcohol.
Wow.
My mother and dad both were heavy smokers. My mom especially was a heavy smoker. And my dad smoked, but not as heavy as she did. Not one of us, only 1 out of 10 was a smoker. We saw what it did, and we saw the effects of it, and the negative side of it, and we said, we don't want anything to do with it, nothing. And one brother, he loves his alcohol, especially the beer, and one sister, and she's passed away, and she was the only smoker. But I think that's pretty good.
Yep. you definitely, your family beat the odds, didn't they? That's good to know.
And you can see what it does to someone else and you don't want that.
Right, right. Yeah. And it affects the whole family,
yes,
which I think Dave's going to talk a little bit next week on the last about that, you know, how it doesn't just affect you. It affects people around you and people in your family. So that's great that they could recognize that and overcome that. It's easier said than done. So they did a great job. I have trouble hearing you guys because there's this fan is right above my head and it's all I can hear is that fan. So that's why I had to step forward. Anything else anybody wants to say before we go on or any more things to add to the list on the board? Nope. Okay. So now we start the process. And I know Brother Cody talked a little bit about this. What do we do? How do we overcome the strongholds we have? I hope, if anybody, by the way, wants the week one handout, if you lost it or want it again, there's actually a place on there where you can list your strongholds. I did bring extra copies if anybody wants that one again. But I hope you've been kind of thinking about it and that some of these things on the list and things we've been talking about has maybe brought to light some strongholds in your own life. Because I really believe we all have strongholds. Maybe some are stronger than others, but a stronghold is a stronghold, kind of like a sin is a sin. You know, we say, oh, murdering somebody is way worse than telling a white lie, but it's still a sin. It's still a stronghold. And if it's something that's keeping you from growing in Christ, it's a stronghold. So hopefully you've been kind of thinking through that. So I just quickly wrote down some things to start working on. If you're serious about breaking through that stronghold, there are some things you can put into practice. And we're going to talk more about those next week too. But first of all, pray, because maybe none of you wrote down any strongholds or couldn't think of anything. Pray. Ask God to reveal it to you. Lord, search me and try me. You know my heart better than I know my heart. And there might be a stronghold in my life that I'm not aware of at all. Or we may have several, and then we realize, oh, wow, I've got more to add to my list. You know, we're all different. But ask God to reveal what is binding you in growing closer to Him and walking in the Spirit more. And then think. Now, Brother Cody talked about this. Be honest about any recurring struggles you have. So Brother Cody said, God will heal what you're willing to uncover. And I thought that was really powerful. So that honesty is the best policy, but that doesn't mean it's easy, right? It's hard to be honest with ourselves, but God already knows our heart, right? So, you know, you can't fool God. So be thinking about it. What, you know, figuring out what are my strongholds? And then reflect. Look for patterns of bondage or resistance. What keeps coming up again? What is keeping me resisting from things that will be helpful to me? What's coming up as something that makes me feel like I'm not free? What things make me feel tense or where I'm not feeling like I'm opening up to God or to other people as much as I should? And then pray again. Use the word of God as your weapon. So we talk about this all the time. We do have good news about strongholds. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. And then I can't read this on my screen, so I'm going to come up here and look at it so I can see. So this is from Ephesians 6:14-17. I know probably most of us in here have studied about, you know, the armor, but we've got the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, belt of truth, talks about sandals. The armor of God reveals the nature of the battle. Spiritual battles are fought with spiritual weapons, not human weapons. So we can talk about all the things we can do, and we're going to talk more about that next week because we've got to do our part, right? But in the long run, a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold, that battle is the Lord's, and He has provided armor for us to use. The Word of God, the sword, all these. We're not going to go into all this because I know probably most of us have done extensive Bible studies on these particular things over and over again. But it, I'm just trying to make across the point. It takes two, baby. It takes two. So it takes you, right? Because you're going to have to make some commitments and some steps to overcome these strongholds if you're serious about it. And God will know if you're serious because he'll see if you're doing what, you know, practicing what we preach. And then two, it takes God, right? It takes God to change our heart and to help us. We need his strength. We need his word. We need his armor to overcome these things. So this was on still on the handout from last week. List any possible examples of strongholds in you in your life, and you may think of more. You may have new ones come up. You may, yay, conquer some, and they may go away, or you may just kind of go back and forth with the same one over and over again, good days, bad days. So hopefully you've kind of mentally thought about some of your strongholds and what God, you need God to help you deal with. Okay. New slides. So today we're going to talk about finding freedom through Christ's power and promises in his word. So last 2 weeks ago, I told you I have this hymn book from 1867 that was my great-great-grandmother's. It's so neat. It doesn't have any musical notes in it. It's just words. It's thick. It's little, but it's thick, and the print is so tiny. But I'm getting so much out of it. I love reading through it. And so I found a couple. I'm not going to read the whole poems, or they look like poems, but they're actually songs from a hymn book. But there are a couple of them. I just want to point out just two verses from two different songs. So just humor me. 10,000 baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering heart. And seldom do we see the snares before we feel the smart, right? We get caught up in a stronghold and we don't even realize it until it's kind of like too late. And then the second verse from that hymn, but let not all this terrify, pursue the narrow path, look to the Lord with steadfast eye and fight with hell by faith. And why did I put a water pistol up there? Because Pastor always says, I feel like, now I just lost it, shooting, attacking hell with a water pistol. Yeah. So, yeah. And then the second hymn, and just two of those verses, break off the yoke of inbred sin and fully set my spirit free. I cannot rest till pure within, till I am wholly lost in thee. I would, but thou must give the power, my heart from every sin release. Bring near the joyful hour, and fill me with thy perfect peace. I love that song, peace, peace, wonderful peace. And I might love it more than some of you, because I was raised when I was junior, I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church, raised in junior high in a Presbyterian church. The end of every Presbyterian church service, we would sing that song. Do you know what I would do? Anytime we were singing or supposed to be praying, you know what I'd be praying? I'd be praying, Lord, help these people be praying and talking to you, because I could, I felt so many times that they weren't. But I loved that peace, peace, wonderful peace, because in my mind, I thought that's a perfect way to end the church service, and I prayed that for the people around me. Anyway, the Lord blessed my sincerity, I guess, and I found the Lord later and became Pentecostal when I was 17, almost 18 years old, my senior year of high school. Hallelujah. So anyway, I love that song. But peace, how can you have true inner peace if there's a stronghold binding you? And that peace can only come from God, from the Lord, Jesus, God. The Lord, I kind of put those words together. But that's where your peace is going to come from. That's where your joy is going to come from. It's only from God. So, Bible verse from Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. So why did I stick this in here? So I wanted you to think a little bit about strongholds and fear and worry and anxiety and what's going on in the world right now. So who can tell me when it says he shall wear out the saints of the Most High? Who is he? It's not God. it's Satan. Or the Antichrist, which is Satan, or the spirit of the Antichrist, or the system of the Antichrist. So right now we're seeing prophecy fulfilled daily. I mean, it's like, whew, talk about being flushed down a toilet. We've seen it coming, but now it's like, it's happening so fast. I'm going to admit a stronghold, apparently, that I just discovered last night. When I went to bed last night, I don't dream very often. I mean, I don't remember. I guess everybody dreams, but I don't remember my dreams very often. But I woke up, first thing I said to my husband, said, well, I dreamed about that our phones went off with that loud blaring sound like it does for an Amber Alert and a tornado warning, and that they were announcing that we're now in World War III. That's what I dreamed about. I'm like, okay, I don't want the news to be a stronghold on me. I don't want the news to cause me to be dreaming things like that or to cause more anxiety and worry in my life. So the wearing out of the saints, how many feels like that's prophecy being fulfilled? We're feeling worn out because there are so many people and systems are against Christians, and now there's this No Kings movement. We even had No Kings demonstrating in a little tiny town of Tazewell yesterday afternoon. 7,000. There is one king. There's no Kings music. There's one king, and he's the King of Kings. There's no Kings movement. So, you know, we can feel worn out, and that feeling of being worn out can be a stronghold, right? If you dig into it, it's like, okay, Lord, I want your peace, I want your joy, and I don't want to worry, and I don't want all this stuff that's going on in the world to bring me down, because remember how the story ends? We make it. Jesus is Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. So we've got to remember the hope that we have. Next verse, Galatians 6:9, on the same subject, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. No more fainting, right? No more fear, no more fainting. Let's just push through. How many have heard the song on K-Love and Air One and that? It's John Reddick, and the song is No Fear. Love that song. No fear. And it's talking about, that's why I wrote fear in big there. Fear can encompass a lot of things in our lives. It really can. And with what's going on in the world right now, and knowing that he, the devil, is trying to wear us out, don't let him wear you out. Yes. We got to fight back. The next verse, and when Luke 13:12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. So Pastor talked about this in a sermon just a couple weeks ago, maybe not even that long ago. But the woman with the infirmity, she was oppressed and she was weary. And the word loosed means divorced, separated, severed, released, set free. So, you know, Jesus can say to us in our hearts and those things that are holding us back, the strongholds in our life, be loosed, just like Pastor preached about the other day. And Matthew 5:29, and if thy right eye offends thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Next verse, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So going back here. So I just want to point out, we can't really take our eye out, right? And it seems like, oh, that's so harsh for us to do that. Well, we can't do that unless we let our mind be renewed by the Holy Spirit. But also, we can't do that except for these verses. Again, it's not our battle. We give it to the Lord's, and it's his battle. So Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And this verse, one of my favorites, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, so we've talked about verses. We've talked about renewing our minds. We've talked about infiltrating our hearts and minds with the Word of God to help renew our minds. Those are things we can do. We've talked about putting on the armor of God. We've talked about giving it up to God. We've talked about things we can do like praying. Next week, we're going to talk about more practical things, like to just give you a little foretaste of what we're going to talk about. How many times a day do Muslims pray? For sure. They probably pray more than this, but what's the minimum amount? Three. Brother Holloman said three. Three. Why can't we do that? If you've got a stronghold and you're serious about breaking out of it, why can't we do our part? Even though we're using the armor of God and trusting God, we've still got to do our part. Why can't we say breakfast, lunch, and sunset, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. God's going to see your seriousness. Just like when we pray fervently, God knows we're praying fervently. He's going to answer our prayers. He's going to help us. We're asking him for help, but does he see that in our actions? Are we praying as much as we should? We're going to talk about goals, setting goals, things like that next week. I do have a habit of talking. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. See, I did it again. I talk too much. So we're going to stop here. I'm going to show you what's going to happen next week, and then we're going to answer some of these questions on the handout. Did everybody get a handout from today? For today. And did anybody else want the handout from week one? I did bring extra copies. Okay. So next week, since I already mentioned it, this is what we're going to be talking about. Walking in daily victory over sin and temptation and celebrating progress and maintaining freedom. So I'm hoping to bring forth a lot of practical advice you can use to help maintain your freedom. And Brother Dave is going to talk about these topics too. So that's going to be next week. But take your handout and flip it over. Or no, actually, it might be on the front side. Things to think about, discussion questions. I think it's on the front side here. So I just want to open this up. Those who have been in my classes know that I love interaction. And I love to hear from you guys. And I know we're running out of time again. We've got 5 minutes. But what strongholds have you seen in your or someone else's life? And what steps did you or they take to overcome them? You can write them down if you want to, but we'd like to discuss it. If anybody wants to share any examples of that. It doesn't have to be about you, or if it is about you, you don't have to say it's you.
Childhood sexual abuse. Okay. Since some real things happened when people unloaded.
Wow.
Just to talk about it in a small group and have prayer and deal with it and continually until they work through it. It's amazing.
I bet you see a lot of this stuff happen in Celebrate Recovery. Okay. Anything else from that you've seen in someone else, Brother Holloman?
I can say this about myself. Several years, way in the past, I had suffered from, I guess today they call it bipolar. We used to call it manic depressive, manic depressive. And it was One of the things I did was to get counseling. And the other thing I did was exercise. And it's surprising how much that would have helped. But the thing for me, and this is just my experience, is that I had a dream one night that Jesus himself actually picked me up and rescued me from that. And it didn't end instantly, but it did end. And one day it was like, I felt this thing, it felt like turning the light switch off. And this little voice in my head says, you're done.
Wow. That's an awesome testimony.
And that's not something that I worked up on my own because I was trapped. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to die. You know, maybe physically, but certainly mentally. Mm-hmm. But God is able. Mm-hmm. God is faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he loves us more than we can even imagine. You know how much we love our kids? He loves us, you know, thousands of times more than that. we mean everything to him. Good. Thanks for sharing that example. All right. Check the time again. All right. There are questions here at the bottom that you can work through and think about. And then, two, these questions on the bottoms of week one and week three, if there's anything that you want to discuss, hopefully we'll have a little time next week to kind of go over some more of these questions, because I really like the interaction. I'm sorry I'm so talkative. I talk and talk. I'm sorry, I run at the mouth. Okay, maybe that's my stronghold. I better pray about that. But look through these questions. Think about it. Kind of work through them. I think that these handouts are great. I'm glad Chris is making these for us, and I think they're very helpful. So, anybody have anything else they want to say in closing or any other questions? And I'm praying next week will be very powerful and that we're going to gain strength in knowing how we can overcome strongholds, and we're going to, hopefully our faith will be lifted up, and we will bring that, as this morning, bring it into the sanctuary and worship service so people can feel how excited we are and that we're free, that we're going to break free in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yes, Brother Taylor.
I was just thinking when we were talking about faith, I'm really hard hearing.
Yes. That's right.
And but a lot of times when the world talks about faith, then they talk about sudden destruction.
Yes.
The world was talking about, Paul was talking about.
Yep.
And then, nothing to worry about it because nothing you can do about it.
No, and we knew it was coming, and it's in God's hands. Yeah. God's in control. That's right.
And you just learn from the scriptures, and then be quiet and let God.
Yep.
See what you got in your hand.
Yep.
What we've got in our heart and mind.
Yep.
You have the word of God in your mind and your heart. Mm-hmm. You bring all these things up.
We're covered by his blood. Yep. Good. Good. All right. Great. Well, happy Father's Day to everybody, and see you in worship service.